morning. Welcome to our service, and a special welcome to all visitors that we have worshipping with us this morning. I'm able to tell you that today's service has been organised by the worship group in conjunction with the Justice and Peace group, and we're pleased to welcome Alan Dunbar from Christians Against Poverty. Alan's going to speak to us later. The intimations are contained within the order of service. There is one that I need to add, and that is concerning the World Day of Prayer, which is to be held on Friday, the 1st of March, at St. Devenick's Church at 7 p.m. The service prepared this year by the Christian Women of Slovenia, and it's called Come, Everything is Ready. And you're asked to join them, and there will be refreshments after the service. The magazine is ready for collection in the trays, so that's a note to office bearers. Give thanks to the Lord because he is good. His love is eternal. Give thanks to the greatest of all gods. His love is eternal. Give thanks to the mightiest of all lords. His love is eternal. Come, let us give thanks and praise God singing. Hymn 522, the church is wherever God's people are praising.
What follows is from the Iona community. At the end, we will say the Lord's Prayer together. The version which we use is printed on the insert at the back of the hymn books, but please feel free to use whatever version you are most comfortable with. Our Lord understands all versions. The gospel is about good news to the poor, liberty to the captives, justice for the oppressed. That is essentially political. If we see real poverty in our inner cities, young people whose sense of worth is steadily eroded by lack of work, the deliberate running down of all our industries, and the systematic destruction of all that constitutes a caring society, then as Christians, it is our duty to take action. Christianity affirms the infinite value before God of every individual, and the gospel talks of abundant life in Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, you humble me before the poor. The more I have, the more I want to cling to. Jesus Christ did not grasp at divine equality, but laid aside his glory, stripping himself of privilege and security to live life with the conditions we live under. He was a vulnerable child, unprotected from Herod's wrath, a refugee. He was found alongside the lowest, the least, the lost. He gave all, even life itself. Yet I hesitate to part with some of my abundance. Lord God, you humble me before the poor, who when they have a little to eat, share it, who will fight to secure others' good, who having nothing, yet seem to possess all things. What must I do to be saved? If we all become poor, there would not even be a portion for each. I cringe away from the sacrifice Jesus asked of the rich young man, but I also believe I am not called to part with my possessions as he was. Or am I? Search my heart. You know my innermost thoughts. Teach me so to handle the possessions you have entrusted to me, that whatsoever is asked of me, they will be treated as yours, not as my own. Teach me grace to give whatever you require of me, and grace to refuse whatever mistaken pressures guilt would exact from me. Teach me to fight unjust systems which rob people of their share of God's provision. Teach me to be alert to rationalizations and evasions in my own life and in church and in public life. Teach me not to want to keep the poor in poverty as a sign and reminder to others, as if merely by being poor they formed a saving remnant. May I respond to Mary's vision of the poor lifted high. All this I ask in Jesus' name, who taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our service this morning is about Christians against poverty, and there's a lot of news to hear about their work. But the children this morning have got a different message for you, and it coincides with the beginning of Fair Trade Fortnight, which is either today or tomorrow. And we're very pleased that the church has taken on the 90 kilo challenge, which is to sell rice from Kilombero in Malawi. We have to sell 90 kilos of it. And many of you bought rice last week. We did extremely well, and we're going to be selling more after the service. At Jam last Sunday, we actually cooked some rice, didn't we? And enjoyed it very much. Even people like Sarah, who said she didn't like rice, tried some and found it quite nice after all. So we're keen to tell you a little bit more about the rice. So folks, will you all come up here to the front? And we can show, first of all, that we've got some banners. Make a nice line across the front here. No, we want you in a nice big line across the front. Who's going? Ewan, you can come here if you stand here, and then Isla will come next to you. That's it. And Annie and Sarah. That's it. And Fraser and Callum along at that end. That's good. Now we can see you. Yes. So if we hold our banners up for a moment, you can see we've got pictures of the farmers in Malawi who are growing this lovely Kilombero rice for us. They don't eat much rice in Malawi. They like maize. They make a porridge out of it. But they're being encouraged to grow rice as a cash crop, which will raise money for them. So they export it, and we buy it, and it's a fair trade product. So a good lot of that money goes back and helps them. And we can see the pictures of the farmers there. Now, Sarah, if you just put your banner down, you've got a little bit of reading, haven't you? You're going to tell, and I'll come and hold the microphone just so that you can say that.
Cold Sparrows Church and the children in Jam are taking part in the 90 kilo rice challenge to help support rice farms in Malawi. Malawi is in Africa and is one of the poorest countries in the world.
Thanks very much, Sarah. Well done. And now, Annie, yes? There we are. Hold the microphone.
There are about 15 and a half million people who live in Malawi, and 40% of the population live on less than £1 a day. People are only expected to live to the age of 55 years old.
Thanks very much, Annie. Thank you. Ayla?
In Malawi, primary education for children is free. A quarter of a million children in Malawi never go to school.
Ayla, why is that? Read your third one and tell us why they don't go to school.
Secondary school education is not free, and it is often far too expensive for lots of people to send their children to. This means that less than one in three children attend secondary school.
Thank you very much, girls. Thank you. And Fraser, do you want to come and read your summary there?
If we support farmers in Malawi to build up their farms, they may be able to send children to secondary school. Kilombero rice is mainly grown as a cash crop to provide an income. It takes just 90 bags of rice to be sold at a fair price to send a child to secondary school. Please help us by buying rice after this service so we can help the children in Malawi, as all children should be able to have an education like we do. Thanks for listening to us.
Thank you. And Fraser has got a prayer for us now. Callum, I should say. Thank you, Callum.
Let us pray. We believe that the earth is the Lord's and all that lives on it. We believe that the living gratefully and giving generously are marks of faith. We believe that all of humanity should have access to the earth's resources, and every individual must not act to preserve the world so that the children of tomorrow may not be burdened with the mistakes of today. And so we commit ourselves to think globally, to tread fairly, to live responsibly, to love this world as God loves it, who in Christ became part of creation. Amen.
We're now going to sing hymn 710 in your hymn books. 710, I have a dream, a man once said. Hymn 710.
Mm-hmm.
have a short reading this morning. It's from Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 28. And it's to be found on page 702 of the Old Testament pages of the Pew Bibles. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He created all the world. He never grows tired or weary. No one understands his thoughts. He strengthens those who are weak and tired. Even those who are young grow weak. Young people can fall exhausted. But those who trust in the Lord for help will find their strength renewed. They will rise on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not grow old, not grow weak. Amen. We continue our worship by singing together hymn 291, When Out of Poverty is Born.
Good morning, my name's Alan Dunbar. I'm thrilled to be with you this morning. And the children's talk was just amazing. I hope we'll all be supporting these beautiful children in the work that they're doing, raising money for the Rice and for that education. My background is this. I left Aberdeen in 1969 to pursue business interests in the Highlands. And on my retirement, just 6 and a bit years ago, I wanted to do something for in voluntary work and to be helping the nation. And indeed, this has been the opportunity for not only the Highlands, but also for Aberdeen as well, where we've had many opportunities through Christians Against Poverty. And at the end, when you go through for coffee, we've a little stand there with books, and we've got forms if you would wish to hear more about CAP. And two ladies there will be delighted to take your name and address and for us to forward details to you. So indeed, this is the first time I've been working sophisticated machinery, so go with me and I'll try and keep very much to my time so that we know what's going on. So on this, we want to introduce you to Karen, whose 23-year relationship broke down alongside her being diagnosed with lupus. She was left as a single parent, unable to work, debts mounted, snatching Karen's hope and driving her to attempt suicide. When we look there at the distinguished there, right now 14 million people in our nation like Karen are living in poverty, our eyes like an illness in the family, setting you into flight mode for a battle you can't win, and drawing your life until you have nothing left to give. You have no power, no change, the situation, and it grinds you down until any flicker of hope you had is completely extinguished. We find out during our time together today, Christians Against Poverty works with local churches all over the UK to connect with these broken people whose lives have been devastated by poverty through debt, unemployment, dependencies, and low income. What unique ingredients does CAP have that changes thousands of lives? We do this as we through the local church, and here in Cults, we see here an opportunity where through CAP, you could bring Jesus to the lives of many. The hope that we have, every single person in this country, in the community who was struggling with debt or poverty, desperately needs hope to walk into their situations. And that's why CAP's core message is always hope. It permeates everything we do. As Christians, we are all carriers of hope because Jesus is the one with hope with us wherever we go. But our clients' hopelessness is real. We can't help themselves out of debt, break free from their dependencies, or get themselves into work after years of unemployment. They feel like there is no way out of their own. But in Job chapter 11, verse 18, the Bible tells us that God's promise is that you will be secure because there is hope, and you will look about and you can take the rest in safety. Like CAP, I truly believe that the local church is the hope of the world, a place of safety, because we are the hands and feet of Jesus, and Jesus has the ultimate bringer of hope. Today I'm going to show you how you can join CAP's mission and enable hope to walk into lives where hopelessness has set up camps. But let's take a closer look at our understanding of hope. Redefining hope. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in good, for I am yet praise him, my Saviour and my God, from Psalm 45. The Greek word for hope is elpis, which means to anticipate with pleasure and to confidently expect. We bring hope to the nation, the people that we deal with. If I tell you about this lady this week, walked into our house, very tearful. She had been on drugs 8 years ago plus. She was released from all that, and she got a job as a drug and alcohol counselor in the Woman's Aid. Sadly, when she wasn't feeling too well one day, and this is just a couple of months ago, someone slipped a drug into her drink, and it put her back onto drugs and to drink. Talking with her, she was in despair. She said, I've been helping people out of this, and now I'm in it myself again. She said, my husband is doing a life sentence, ex-husband, a life sentence for sexually assaulting me and every female member of our family, for stamping in my head and doing all sorts of things. I didn't believe this story, and I went on and Googled it when I went home. And it's right. This guy's doing a life sentence for abuse. That's the extreme of some of the clients we're dealing with. Others could be your neighbor, where they've got the new car, they've got the big mortgage, one couple paying £1,151 a month for the mortgage. And they came and asked for help. And because it's confidential, no one knows. We are helping them. Let's watch this film.
Life just started getting really, really hard. You were slowly sinking. slowly getting further and further into debt. I just started feeling so guilty, like as if I wasn't a proper mum and it was all my fault. And I cut myself off from all my friends. I wasn't coping myself and I didn't want anyone else to know. Before I got into debt, I was with my partner for 23 years. We had three children. The relationship fell apart and I became a single parent. I was diagnosed with systemic lupus, which is a chronic autoimmune disease. I couldn't work. And one of the symptoms of lupus is brain fog. It got me into debt because I was forgetting to pay bills. I was paying some bills and not paying other bills. The debt got really bad. Life was, it was unbearable. I just thought that life would be better for my children if I wasn't there. So I'd found some vodka that was in the house and I was mixing it with wine and I just sat with a box and I was just opening tablets and just, it just seemed the only way out. There was no way, I couldn't deal with the debts, I couldn't deal with anything. It just was, yeah, it was horrible. Sorry. I really first felt hope with CAP when I realised that I wasn't on my own, that someone was there to hold my hand. Mary came down for the first visit. Oh, it was just so good. There was paperwork everywhere, all over the living room floor. They were trying to get everything in order. But we gradually got through like all the paperwork and everything and it got sent to Bradford. And it was just like this huge weight was taken off my shoulders. It's really hard to explain. It was just, there was people there and people cared. And I think I started becoming me again. I started asking lots of questions about God. Mary had said that Central Church was doing an Alpha course, went on that. And then I started going to Central Church. There was one night I was at church and they were singing Good, Good Father. I just thought, God loves me for who I am. I don't have to be this perfect person for God to love me. I just had tears rolling down my face and just thought, yeah, I want God in my life. Yes, I am very happy in life. I'm still not debt free, but that day is coming. Yeah, about a year, so it's there. I know what I'm aiming for. Having God in my life, it's just expanded everything. I'm not this isolated person anymore. Life is just great.
Hope, yes indeed, when that door opens, when someone can't talk to anyone about their situation and find there's a listening ear and someone that can understand where they've been and what they're going through and to help them through. And our hope for you is firm. We always give that assurance to people that they know from Corinthians that the sure in the sufferings and also you share in our comfort. And through scripture, we often are able to help people from their darkest place to see the light and to put our trust in our ministry. We're looking there at where we're coming from as we operate in the UK, in many places. And at the end of my short talk, I'll tell you we're in Aberdeen. We are actively working now. And this is all in recent years because Aberdeen was one of the last cities to have CAP in it. And we're excited about that. And it would be wonderful if your church supported us in prayer and gave us support, maybe in personal thing as well, using your building for some clients to meet. We have job clubs, we've got life skills. Talk about it at the desk and we'll tell you the various ministries that we're involved with. The service works, as Job 5 and 16 would say. So the poor have hope and justice shuts its mouth. We can get into Job Centre Pluses They refer people to come to us for debt help, the courts, the prison, the social work, the doctor's surgeries, and you ask me some of the other places. I'll keep some back in case you're interested enough to know the various avenues, which is my privilege to be exploring all the time for opportunities for us to be sharing. When we take the piles of confusing paperwork, as Karen was saying, it's amazing where the debt help clicks in. I've seen, well, on Tuesday, if I told you as a lady with 38 different debts and all the paperwork surrounding that, all the reminder letters, all the threatening letters from the court, you can imagine there was paperwork everywhere. 7 hours later, I go home and Christine wondered where I had gone to, and it was sorting out that paperwork. But oh, to see the lift of that lady's face, the release of someone taking board the debt for her, not paying the debt, but being the frontline person who the creditors are going to be speaking to head office rather than calling for her. Looking there at the amount of people, 23,000 people helped this year by CAP Ministries, 2,500 families debt-free. Just this year alone in Inverness, we've had 3 families debt-free. Can imagine if you've had the burden and then you get that call to be unable to say that you're clear from there. 805 people there found the job clubs as positive. Various statistics that you'll see there, very important, because we believe that the church today is not, that we're not a ministry instead of the church. We are a ministry working with the churches so that you can be enabled to reach out in your community for those who need help. We believe, as scripture says in Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you hope and a future." That's what we tell each of our clients. Many of them put their trust in God, but many of them just enjoy being in the company of a Christian where we're able to share our faith and they ask more questions. Hope of salvation. Yeah, it's so important that we don't take that lightly either. "Guide me in your truth and teach me, and you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." Someone said to me, "Why have you done this for so long as a voluntary person when you could have been working and getting paid for it?" My passion is this: as a person who loves to share my faith, I want others to come to the peace that passes all understanding in their lives. And if they're the vagabond in the street, or the person that's less desirable because of the smell or the situation they live in, I just love getting alongside them and saying, "My God loves you." And they've never heard people talking about love. Some of them don't even experience love in their family in the way in which they were brought up. So it enables us to do so many things. Here we go back to Karen then. And I can't walk around here, no. Just on that screen there where we're talking about all the people that we've helped. I'm so conscious of time now. I'm trying to keep to the minutes that I was given. I'll just flick through there. When hope walks in Aberdeen today, I'm very pleased to say, and I'll read them out, and I'll be delighted to give you a copy of you if you're in interest. And this is CAP Services in Aberdeen. Aberdeen Central Job Club in the Fountain of Love. Aberdeen West Life Skill, West Life Skills, Infernally Gospel Hall, and also doing CAP Money Course. In Torre Aberdeen, Life Skills at King's Community Church, and also CAP Money Course. Aberdeen Debt Centre in the City Church, and also running CAP Money Courses. Bankery Debt Centre, Bankery Christian Centre. And churches running CAP Money Courses: Hillview Community Church and Cults, St. Columba Church, Bridge of Dawn, Gerrard Street Baptist Church in Aberdeen, Torre United Free Church, Hebron Evangelical Church, and Jesus House in Torre. All these places are active, but that isn't to say you can be complacent. There's a work here in cults. There's people in cults that I'm sure could benefit from our ministry and our help and our administration. If you would like to know more about what's going on, we have two books today that you could pick up from the desk during the coffee. Nevertheless, is the history of CAP ministry since it started just over 20 years ago, and also Journeys Out of Hope. It's testimonies of people who have put their trust in God and indeed have been benefited from our ministries. I'm apologizing at the end, but it's just to say I'm available over coffee and tea. I've so much more to tell you, but I'm in restricted time. Thanks for the invitation, and be blessed.
Alan, thank you very much indeed. Let us worship God through our offering. The offering will now be uplifted.
Jesus Christ knew poverty, and yet he gave what he could. Receive our offerings today, Lord. We give them freely from what we have. May they be a sign of all that we offer, and may they be used to bring your kingdom here and now. Amen. We now join together in the hymn 259. Beauty for brokenness.
Let us pray. May it not be long, Lord. May it not be long before there are no more beggars at the door, waiting for the crumbs from the tables of the rich. May it not be long before the northern exploitation of the southern economies is a fact of history, not a fact of life. May it not be long before poor economies cease to be havens for sex tourism, child labour, and experimental genetic farming. May it not be long before those nations we once evangelised show us the larger Christ, whom we too often have forgotten. May it not be long, Lord. May it not be long before the governments of our nations legislate against commercial avarice and overconsumption, which hurts the poor and indebts them. May it not be long before Christians in this land examine their economic priorities in the light of the gospel rather than its shadow. May it not be long before we respond out of love, not out of guilt. May it not be long before we find wells of hope deeper than the shallow pools of optimism in which we sometimes paddle. May it not be long before we feel as liberated and addressed by your word as those first folk did, who heard you summon the oddest of people to fulfill the oddest of callings. May it not be long, Lord. Amen. And we're now going to sing hymn 184, Sing to the Lord a Joyful Song.
Thank you.
gathered and listened. We go now ready to serve God in our daily living. May we know God's presence as we walk our paths this week and always.